Welcome to Transformation Church Podcast. Today we are in our series Relationship Goals, a biblical perspective on achieving godly relationships in singleness, dating, and in marriage. From wherever you're listening, we hope you are encouraged by this week's message.
How many people have been blessed by this sermon series so far? This has been a good one for you, okay? Well, we're taking it to the next level today, next level. And how are we gonna do that? You know, somebody once told me that collective wisdom is better than one person's wisdom every day. And we're in the fifth week of this sermon series, and I thought we'd do something different. I can talk about relationships all day. I got tons of stuff to talk about, and I got three more weeks to do it after this, and you don't want to miss them. But today I thought that let's invite some other people who may represent people in the audience who are watching. People who may be single, people who may be dating, people who are engaged, people who've been married a short time, a long time, young, old, all that. And let's just start talking. This is one of the things me and my wife have found, that in real relationships, sometimes it's better when somebody else starts the conversation than for the people in the relationship to start the conversation. I know that many times when me and my wife are going through something, if I ask her something about why she did something, it turns into an argument, or excuse me, heated fellowship at that moment. But when somebody else asks both of us, how are you doing in this area? Then we both get an opportunity to share. What we're going to try to do is three things. And for all of you that have to have scripture and have points, these are it. It's coming in the next 5 minutes. So you better get all of them, because the rest of it's going to be dialogue. Okay. The reason that we're doing this is my desire is that every person would embrace the time and season God has them in. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, for everything, there is a season, a time for every activity under the sun. That's including relationship. That means there's a time to be single. There's a time to marry. There's a time to be alone and let God refine you. There's a time for everything. And so we want everybody to not just be in their season, but we want you to embrace it. Man, I'm married and I love it. Man, I'm single and I'm living it up. Man, I'm dating and I don't know if he's the one or she the one, but it's fun right now. Like, I want you to embrace whatever season you're in, so that God can get the most out of it. The second thing I want you to know is that there is hope for your hurdles. There's hope for your hurdles. Everybody's going through something in relationship that is a hurdle for them. Some of y'all don't know how to communicate, and that's a hurdle for you. So you really feel something, but every time it comes out in a secondary emotion like anger, frustration, and really you have something really that needs to be addressed, but you don't know how to do it. And we want to let you know, number one, wherever you are relationally through this panel, you're not the only one going through it. The enemy tries to take people out in isolation. You're the only one. Don't tell nobody what you're going through. What are they going to think of you when they find out y'all are really having these marital problems, or the relationship's not working out, or we just went Facebook official and now we want to quit a week later? But I just want you to know that everybody has hurdles in relationship. Okay, can we just break the ice? How many people have hurdles in relationships right now? Come on, let's be honest. Okay? And some of y'all are like, I'm not even in a relationship. You have hurdles with the people on your dorm floor. You have hurdles with the person who serves you Starbucks every week. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are all relational things. And we want you to know there's help for that. See, because I think that the church has lost the power of a simple testimony. I feel like we don't realize that if we just can share with somebody where we're at and what we're going through and how God's bringing us through or brought us through that, how that gives hope to somebody else. I want you to understand that this, what's going to happen today, is as powerful as me getting up, speaking in tongues, laying hands on people, because the Bible tells us in Revelations, when the enemy comes to accuse, this is how you overcome him. It says, Revelations 12:11, you can take that down. It says, and they defeated him. They have defeated him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb, that's grace that we all receive, and the words of their testimony. The problem is many of us get changed and we don't want to share what God has done. It's like we get sanitized and we never want anything to do with who we were and what we used to think and what we do. But what you don't know is it brings hope for somebody else's hurdles. That's why every Sunday I get up here, I'm like, I know who I was. I was a liar. I was a cheater. I was addicted to pornography. I was a manipulator. Why? Because that lets somebody who's dealing with some of that stuff right know that there is hope for your hurdles. And what we want you to know today relationally is there's hope for your hurdles. And the last thing we want you to know, and this is something that me and my wife really try to keep in every message we do at Transformation Church, we think that practical leads to progress. Like when you're practical, it leads to actually moving forward. I've been in some churches and some stuff, they be in the fifth heaven and everything is so deep and we're going to another dimension. Like I didn't get the last one. Like I didn't get the last dimension. Why do we have to go to another one? And though there's much wisdom and things that come, a lot of times we don't leave knowing how to do anything. And if we're gonna really transform, we have to have practical steps of how to move out of where we are to where God's going. We have a saying around Transformation Church that this church is not about perfection. It's about what? Progression. Listen, I don't care what your Christian walk looks like, if it's leaps, jumps, steps, or scoots. If you're scooting, just keep progressing. Does everybody hear what I'm saying? Religion tries to tell you, you should know this much by now, and you should be here by now, and you should do that. No. Just keep moving forward. And if you keep doing that, God will get you to the destination that you're supposed to be. Proverbs 4, chapter 5, verse 7, this is the best way that we can get progress. It says, get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom. Everybody say wisdom. For she will protect you. Love wisdom. Love her. And she will guard you. Watch this. Underline this. It says, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. Like, I love that. It's like trying to make it for all of us who may be a little remedial. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you could do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. Another translation says, and all you're getting, get an understanding. And so today, that's what we want to do. We want to get an understanding. We want to get some wisdom. And I thought it would be great for me. You heard from me and Pastor Natalie last week, but I thought we'd get some other people up here that I have relationship with. I trust that many of them go to Transformation Church and we can learn together. We're going to laugh today. We're going to talk real today. And I want you to take at least one or two things that you can say, okay, I'm going to put that in my bag. For my relationship, for my family, or I'm not putting that in my bag. What they doing? Ooh, that's jacked up. Don't do that. Like, I want you to take it, and I want you to be better because of what God's going to do. Amen? Okay, so I'm going to introduce this panel to you right now, but since we're talking about relationships, I need some music, DJ. Could you put some love music on or something that can get me going? Yeah, go ahead and turn that up, DJ, okay? I want to introduce some of these people right now. To my right, the first couple that's coming out, these people are remarried. One of them, their spouse passed away. The other one, they were divorced and God has brought them together. Will y'all please give it up for John and Shantae Williams? And on this side, they've been married for over 37 years. They're the OGs of our panel, Pastor Adrian and B. Humphrey. Will y'all give it up for them? These two people are becoming me and Natalie some good friends of ours. They're actually starting a church here in Tulsa called Eden Tulsa. And this is an awesome couple, married for a little over a year. Will y'all give it up for Charles and Abby Medcalf? And these next two people really are amazing in so many areas. If you have ever been in the emergency room at St. Francis, you may have seen them because they're both nurses. Will y'all please give it up for David and Mandy Hayes coming out? Now, this is one of my favorite people in the whole world. She is a picture of what life after divorce looks like, and she fine as a glass of wine. Will y'all give it up for Pastor Barbara Littlejohn? Come on over here, Pastor B. Okay, so this man is probably one of the nicest guys that I've ever met and I've ever known. And he is literally one of the most encouraging people in the world. Will y'all give it up for Raymond Walker? And this is my sister right here. She's single and she's ready to mingle. Will y'all give it up for Arian Wilson as she comes out? The last couple that I'm going to introduce is actually dating right now, and they have submitted themselves to accountability in dating that I haven't seen many couples do, and they're succeeding. We're very proud of them. We all give it up for Rob and Kelsey coming out. And last but not least, the mother that bakes all my children. We all give it up for Pastor Natalie. Amen. Vernon, yeah, help her down, Vernon. Help her down. See, she carrying a lot. Thank you, Vernon. Don't touch her that long again, Vernon, all right? I'm just... We're going to have a good time today. Okay, so this is how we're going to start. Thank you guys, first off, for being here. I know this may be a little different, but through our transparency, I believe that we can help a lot of people in whatever age and stage and relationship they're in. So that's the first thing I want to find out. I want to find out what season of relationship are you currently in, okay? And then I want you to give me an adjective that describes, or a descriptive word that describes that season for you right now. Like, what season are you in, and what is a word or a couple of words that describe that season? Ramon, let's start with you, bro. What season are you in, bro?
I am currently engaged.
Yeah. That boy happy. He is happy. Look at him with that pink jacket on.
And the word I would use to describe that, because my fiance is across the world right now, is stretching.
Stretching. Okay. Stretching. Let's go.
We have been married for a year and a half, and I would say our word is... My word, for sure, is learning.
Learning. That's a good word, son. When a year and a year and a half, that's a good word.
I would say my word is growing.
Growing. Learning and growing. Y'all seem unified. Did y'all talk about this?
We spent 6 hours practicing that. Right?
Okay. Okay.
So we've been married for 22.5 years, and my word is spontaneous adventures.
Spontaneous adventures.
I'd have to say mine is new capacity.
New capacity. Now, let me stop there real quick, just so you guys can get a little background on this, is that John's wife passed away, and they had 3 kids, right? And Shantae was divorced, and she had 3 kids. 2.5 years ago, they came together, and now they got 6 kids. Fruitful and multiplying. And I think that's why he said, not multiplying, no more. No more multiplying, no more. But I think that's where stretch capacity comes in. That's beautiful. Kelsey, Rob.
We've been dating for 1 year and 4 months.
Okay.
And my word is preparation.
Preparation. That's a good word.
And my word would be vulnerable.
Vulnerable. That's a good word. Let's start on the other side. Arian, what... I kind of already put you out there that you're single and ready to mingle, fellas. No, I'm just... Put your eyes open, watch, and pray. Anyway... But what would describe the season that you're in right now? A descriptive word.
I would say it's promising.
Promising. Did y'all hear that? Promising. Pastor Adrian, B?
Well, praise God. Well, go ahead.
We have been married for 37 years.
That's awesome.
And my word would be empty nesters.
Come on, ain't nobody at the house.
Amen. And mine is just reflection, thoughtful reflection.
Thoughtful reflection.
Yeah,
okay.
Just hopeful. You know, think about what we could do, how we can give back, what we can do, and
y'all
summing
can do
things
a lot
up
with nobody at the house.
Yes.
Oh, we gonna have fun today. Y'all just get ready. This is about to be great. Okay. Pastor B, what season, what stage in life are you at, and what's a couple words that can describe that?
Well, my season is single, divorced.
Okay.
And my word is satisfied.
Hey! She's reclaiming her time. Okay. I see you. Okay. Dave and Mandy?
We'll have been married 2 years, September 25th.
Yeah.
28. Oh, 28. Oh.
It's the 28th. It was close. 3 days off. Ooh, we gonna have counseling after this. I got hot for him. I'm just playing.
My word is maturing.
Mature. That was good, David. That's good, bro. Ooh, use your words wisely. What's your word, Mandy?
My word is
fun. Fun. That's a good word, okay?
But also stretching.
Okay, stretching and fun. That's good. Babe, what would be your word? We've been married 7 years.
Yes.
And what would be your word to describe the season we're in right now?
We are in a constant adventure.
Constant adventure. Absolutely. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that. I would basically say...
Be careful. What you about to say?
I said, we're in the season of being fruitful.
We are.
The church.
No sleep.
The babies. Fruitfulness. Amen. Okay, so let me ask this question, because we got a lot of people that text in questions or emailed questions, and this is one that they wanted to know. How do you, or how did you, okay, identify marriage material? Like, how do you identify the type of person? What are a couple details that you look for in the type of person that even maybe you don't marry yet, but you're starting in relationship? And this is going to be different for different people, but what are some of those things that you look for? Who wants to start us out? What's some of those things you want to look for? Go ahead. Come on. She said, I'm single. I'm ready to go. Tell me what I'm looking for.
Well, it's very simple as far as men are concerned. You want to find somebody that wants to be married.
Yeah. That's true. She said that like y'all don't want to be married. And that really is a key point. I like that. Somebody else, what are something that you're looking for in some? Charles, what you got?
I think for me, when I saw Abby, she didn't need me. Like, I was looking for somebody that she was fine by herself and she was strong and independent. And but still in that, there was an attractiveness to like, man, like she's got her own thing. She's good. But in that, it's like, I want to be part of that. Like, I want somebody like that on my team.
So you want somebody on the team that adds value. Not that subtracting. Abby, you have something to say with that?
I would say, too, someone that is pushing you forward in growth and towards your goals. If you're not growing, that's a big red flag.
Come on, that's good. Ray, what you got?
I think for me it was femininity. I think I've
What word was that?
Did you just say?
He said anemone. Off Nemo.
That's Nemo.
Femininity. So I think the biggest thing for me...
I think we know what he was trying to say. He wants a woman who's feminine. That had like six extra syllables. Femininity. That's okay. We'll look it up.
No, I think the biggest thing was there's a certain level of compassion and sincerity and giving that I found in Nike that really stood out to me. And I think for me, even from a distance, I saw that from her friends. I saw that from her family. I saw that from her community that she was around. And seeing that femininity in her, seeing her, the way she loved other people, the way she was compassionate with others, the way she sacrificed her life to others, that to me really stood out.
Yeah, that's good. And he was on point. He had points.
He's
he just couldn't
points.
Say the word. Femininity. I don't even know. Is that a word? Somebody looked at it. It is? Femininity. It's a word. That just sounded like so many extra syllables. No, I'm just messing with you. Okay, somebody else. What are you looking for? Pastor Barbara.
I would be looking for someone that has the God presence in them.
Come on, explain that.
Well, that they, first of all, know God and love God. Because if they know God and love God, they're going to do the same for me.
Come on.
And I'm also looking for that person that is secure in who they are. They know exactly who they are, and they're willing to, they're secured in themselves, and they have security.
Cole, where you got a job. Just in case y'all didn't get that. They're like, no, I got ADT. No, a job, okay? All right, so... You, go ahead, babe.
I'll talk about you.
Okay, what?
No. Yes, I was talking, I've been married to you. He's pretty much the only guy I've ever dated. So, but leadership, uncut, we'll tell you about it later on tonight. Leadership qualities. So, a man that had the ability to lead others that people naturally are kind of gravitated towards, at least for me, that was something, because I needed someone that I knew, not at the time at being 14, but now I think about it, someone that could lead me. Yeah. And so. Yeah.
That's good. So let me ask you this question, and we can get, it's kind of in the same vein, but I just want to hear from you guys. What is a deal maker and what's a deal breaker? Like, what's something that you're looking for that'd be like, man, when they have that quality or that character, that makes me feel good? Or what's that one thing that's like, if they do that or if they're like that, cannot fly? You got something, Rob?
Well, for me, a deal breaker was somebody who wasn't afraid to, like, come for me. Because, like, I dealt with passivity and I was never forced to stretch or do more than what I wanted to. So somebody that just wasn't afraid to help me grow and push me to be better.
Did y'all hear that? That's transparency. Thank you for that. He said he dealt with or deals with passivity, which is an epidemic among men, period. You see these strong women and these passive men. Yeah, whatever you say, honey. Whatever you do, honey. Where are we going? Wherever you want to, honey. Like, it's just this, it's this thing. But he said, because I believe God gives us our helpmates, that he knew what he was dealing with. That means he was self-aware. And then he believed God. He didn't shun what he needed. He asked God to give, and he gave somebody that would confront and be able to do that. Okay, Rob, now on the same token, what's a deal breaker?
I would say cleanliness.
Like, stinky people.
I'm not just super clean, but every day, probably my bed is made. You know, I'm that kind of person. So, and she's a clean freak. So.
Okay, so God gave you what you asked for. Glory to God. Somebody else, what's a deal breaker? What you got, Mandy?
Well, for me, it's honesty, especially in a culture where it's all about basically faking it.
Yeah.
For me, it was something that David was the most honest person I'd met. And so for me, that was a big deal maker.
A deal maker was honesty.
Yeah.
Okay, what's a deal breaker, Mandy? Like, if David walked up to you and was doing this, you would have been like, boy, you honest, but.
Man, laziness.
Laziness.
Yeah.
Did y'all hear that? Okay, I just want you to hear, laziness is a deal breaker. Dave, I want to give you the same question. Be careful, Dave. Be careful.
Redeem yourself.
Redeem yourself right here.
I think something that, I really wanted in a relationship was someone who's going to, be transparent. I know she said honesty, but that was a big thing for me also. And so one of the things that most attracted me to Mandy was one of the first times we hung out, she shared her testimony with me and was just really transparent about the good things and the bad things and what God had done in her life. So that was huge for me. And then as far as a deal breaker...
Stop looking at her, Dave.
Well, I'm just trying to think what I can say. Probably a deal breaker would be someone who doesn't like cheese. But I married her anyways.
So Mandy don't like cheese? God bless her. So, okay. So let me propose this to single people up here, which are you four right now. Okay, let me ask it like this. How do you stay content in the season of singleness when you do desire to be married? Like, how do you, because a lot of people are struggling with being content. Yeah. Like, because they want to go to the next season so bad, they do not embrace this season. Which one of y'all want to answer that? Ray, let's go.
I think it's understanding that marriage is equally as valuable as singleness. They're not one, and they're not one is preparing or one is leading to the other. So for me, I realized that as a single person, I can do whatever I want to do. I have all the time in the world to really pursue my business, pursue my passions. I've traveled across the world. I've been able to do things and meet people I've never been able to do. And being able to be content in that, and then also content in God and who He's called me to be, and really seek God and understand God and listen for Him and get to know Him, develop my relationship with Him was one of the best things. Developing a relationship with God without distractions is one of the best feelings in the world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Anybody else? Kels?
I would say this series, whenever you taught about singleness, is when I became content. Where we are, just because I'm ready to at least be engaged, or we're around all these married people, we're in a marriage belong group, thankfully, just so we can learn and we can prepare. So I feel like we've done all this preparation, so I'm like anxious for the next. Uh-huh. But the singleness that you taught, so it's real recent.
Yeah,
that my contentment
come on,
has
2 weeks
come.
Ago.
Yeah.
Glory to God. That's what I'm taking. We hot in the progression. I love it. What you got?
One thing God had he reminded me and continually reminds me of is that while marriage is a blessing and that I hope to aspire to someday, that it's not a reward for doing something right. And
good.
Singleness is not a punishment for doing for not doing something.
That's good.
And so that is continual progression. And also the one thing that God gave me when he saved me and brought me into Christ was security.
Yeah.
And myself.
That can we snap that up? That was good. That was good right there. Okay, you got something? Let's go.
So when I was, after I got divorced, because I got married the first time really, really young. So after I got divorced, that was the first time I really, really was saved and single.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, as long as I have all my stuff together, physically, financially, you know, all these areas, that I was going to be married. Like, God, you're just going to bring him. And so during that process, for the longest, I was like, God, where is he? Where? How long is it going to take? But what I realized is all during that time, he was strengthening my roots. Like, he was showing himself as my provider. During that time, I mean, I received bonuses and money that more than I've ever made in my entire life, even with two incomes previously. He showed himself as my healer. I dealt with a sickness during that time that was really, really critical. God healed me completely. Glory, he showed God. Himself so faithful to me over and over and over again, to where it really just made me completely sold out that, you know, he was taking care of me. I was not alone during that time. Yeah. And I think that's what needed to be solidified, and where I was content even there before I even received, you know, my...
That's so good. And I want to call our attention back to what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Single and alone are two different things. A lot of people are dealing with feelings of loneliness, but you're not alone. God said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you don't even have to fear, because I'm with you. If you make your bed on the top of a mountain, or if you make it in hell, I am going to be right there with you. The thing is, do we deny or accept the love of God in whatever season we're in? And that's something that we always have to be looking at. Okay, let me talk to everybody right here. What does accountability look like in the season that you're in? Because we hear about so many relationships going off the rails and people having secret conversations with people at their jobs and on Facebook and sliding into the DMs. I'm just going to say that. Do you know that Facebook and Instagram and social media in the past 7 years, I believe the statistic says, that has been linked to almost 40% of divorces? No. I want you to hear me say that very clearly. 40% of divorces have been linked somehow to social media. Okay, so these are real things. So how do you deal with accountability in your relationship, whatever stage you're in? You guys are dating. How do you deal with accountability, Kels?
So a little quick recap of us. Even before we started officially dating, we submitted our relationship to the Todds, and we went on 3 months and did intentional friendship and learned each other differently and stuff like that. So since then, we've been really close with them, and then also the Tuckers. And they taught us that there's a difference between honesty and transparency. So if you're asked something, then you're honest. But if you're transparent, it's just you sharing without having to be asked.
Y'all need to stop. Because people don't get this. A lot of people won't tell the truth until they're asked. But what truth are you giving up? Like, what are you saying with nobody saying, where were you last night? You need to be making the text and the call and say, I did this yesterday. And that's what true accountability looks like. And I can say that for Kelsey and Rob, this is one thing that I have not seen a lot of people do. Kelsey comes from a past that is jaded and broken. Rob comes from a past that was more thugged out and gangster life. And it don't look like it right here, but he would kill you 6 years ago. straight up kill you. There was no passivity in that moment. But when they came and they had been through too many broken relationships, and they said, I don't want to do this again. And so what they said, what do I have to do it right? And I said, it's going to be uncomfortable, but it's going to help you. And so this is a nugget that I didn't even think I was going to pull out, but I feel like the Spirit is telling me to say it, that we put them on 3 months of intentional friendship.
With boundaries.
With boundaries.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? We knew what they were going through, and we weren't going to set them up to fail. And most people's like, I like her. I'm grown. She grown. We should be able to. And they came and they did that. We had them read a book by Jimmy Evans together. We let them know that they could not go into each other's living spaces, and everything that they did had to be upright, nothing vertical.
No kissing.
I mean, what I'm saying.
Everything vertical, nothing horizontal.
You know what I meant. You seen my hands. Y'all seen my hands. No kissing. What else was it?
No alone time.
Everything had to be for 3 months. This is just the beginning. Because when you bring anything physical into it in the first 3 months, I'm no longer trying to get to know you. I'm no longer trying to get to know you. I'm trying to get to know you. And anybody with sense knows that that's the truth. And what happens is you don't have an ability to have an on-ramp or an off-ramp. I said, at this 3 months, you're not putting nothing on Facebook, Instagram, that y'all doing this and all this other stuff. We're going to come back after 3 months, and you're going to be able to say, do I even want to continue in this? Go ahead, baby.
One thing, and then I want Kelsey to be able to finish her sentence.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, you're good? Okay, yeah. Well, other thing I wanted to mention is they submitted their relationship to people that they aspired to be like in some aspect, not their friends.
That's good.
And even to this day, that because of that, I think that separation, God has almost separated them from a lot of people from their past, even friendships, because they decided to do it differently. And so I think God has them in a good little nutshell.
So that's a nice segue. How do relationships change when you get married? Charles, how does your relationships change when you get married?
I think when you're married, like our team and us being on the same thing is the single most important thing. Like our unity, nothing is greater than that. No friend, no hobby, nothing is more important than that. And so I think as you, even speaking to accountability, you need to have people that will ultimately push you together. Like if I come to one of my friends and I'm like, man, she's crazy. He's like, no, you're crazy. Like you need to go back and say, or she has people that will speak and say, push her back to me. I think a lot of times you get people who you just want to agree with you. Like, oh yeah, she is crazy. Oh yeah, she is. That's not helping you. That's drawing you apart. And so I think just learning to find people who are faithful. And yeah, there's somewhere you want to be. You don't go like, find someone who can't swim, teach you how to swim. It doesn't make no sense. So, like, finding people who are where you want to be.
Pastor Adrian B., 37 years in the game, okay? How did your relationships change, like friendships? Because I know you had good friends. How does that change when you get married? Because I know that's an issue in counseling we deal with a lot, as people and the relationship they had before the relationship. How did those things change?
Man, this whole topic just got me just like, wow. Yeah, 37 years ago, y'all got some good answers. I'm going to tell you, when I got married, man, I didn't have all that spiritual root y'all coming with today here, you know. And,
you was just a jive turkey out there trying to do your thing.
Man, I was, you know, I was going to church and stuff, you know, love the Lord and stuff, you know. And I told God, you know, I want a good woman.
Yeah.
My mother was a great influencer to me. She had good core values. And you kind of do look at your parents like that, you know. And I look for a woman that kind of look like my mom. I admired my mother. And so, but, you know, outside of that, I didn't ask a lot of questions. I just like, Lord, I want that. And so, when you say evolve and how did it change, I'm trying to be brief here.
You're good.
How to evolve, because there are different stages in marriage.
Yeah.
It's like you get into a house, and as you go through the years, you go to different rooms. Right. Every room is not accessible when you first come in. You may know it's there, but you really haven't went into it here.
Come on,
so how
that's
did
good.
It change? How did it change here? Well, you know, when I got married, I'm the man. Yeah, ladies, I said it. I'm the man. It's going to roll my way. She showed me, yeah, I was the man, but not the way I thought I was the man. Now, that was a process.
Yeah.
That hurt it.
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay? Yeah. We ain't got the time for this up here. But
no, this is good.
Man, we have so many things. I mean, growing, talking about trust and accountability here. There are different stages. There's some things I didn't even know to even think about trust in that way.
Yeah.
I haven't been in that room. But you know one thing I do know, I'm going to talk about what I do know, is because I was truly seeking God for a good, godly relationship. What I did not know, God carried me through.
Oh, that's good.
What I did know was that I had a woman who loved God also.
Yeah.
So whatever valleys we had that we didn't see here, I was confident we can get through.
Yeah.
See, divorce is never an option to me.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to get real here. At about 15, 20 years, it kind of came up a little bit like, maybe, I don't know. I mean, George and Bob and Mary, they kind of.
That's good.
But you got to trust God and what God is doing with you here. And this is God has taught me what love is through her.
Wow.
I think love grows with knowledge. You have to learn how to love someone. Even with God here, your love for God grows with knowledge as you begin to experience God.
So good.
You know how to love God. When God takes you to some valleys and stuff, some deep places, and brings you out, my soul looks back and wonder how I got over.
Oh, no.
Sometimes my mind can't even. comprehend.
Turn his mic off. He's trying to hijack the talk. No, but that is some wisdom. Can we give God praise for that? That's awesome. That's that 37 years talking right there.
Well.
Go ahead. That's a well.
One thing I wanted to say about the friends thing. I would say this information came to me from your parents, actually, some years ago now. But your mom, I was talking to her, and I don't know if it was talking about, it wasn't talking about us, but someone else. And I mentioned someone that was in a relationship or they were married and having a single friend. And she was like, honestly, baby, she was like, me and your dad do not have single friends. She was like, you think about it, a married couple doesn't have friends of the opposite sex just on their own. You know, like, I don't have a male friend that's not my husband's friend, and vice versa. He doesn't have a girlfriend that's not my friend. Like, we have either friends that, if they are single, they're mutual to us, or they're couple friends. That's just it.
I'm just telling you.
I'm trying to save you from
you're
a
asking
lot
for
of
problems.
Trouble.
You're asking for problems when you're trying to hold on to relationships. And this is one of those, because you always get that. It's a question that we had come in, and I'm just going to take it real fast. When people say, you know, well, we dated before, but we just want to be friends now. Okay, now.
Sorry, y'all.
Let me just help you. It wasn't bad. I'm not saying the relationship was bad. But you leave the door open.
It's just wisdom
for the enemy to play on your spouse or your spouse's mind when you are fighting for a relationship that you don't have to have.
Yeah, you're putting a lot of eggs in the basket on the other person you're in a relationship with to trust you that much, especially if you're just starting off, to trust and believe that you're having someone else of the opposite sex as just your friend. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody, you know? And so asking for insecurity issues and things like that to come up.
And so we're just encouraging you. And listen, everything we're saying up here, you don't got to listen to it. But that last scripture said that wisdom cries out in the street. And it's saying, please listen to me, because it'll guard you and protect you. I'm going to go to something else real quick. When should you share details of your past with the person you're in relationship with? Should you share it when you up front? Hey, my name is Bob. This is everybody I done mess with. This is this. This is this. This is this. Should you wait till you get married?
And they run away.
Should you? No, honestly, this is a question that people know, because people get in marriages with secrets. Okay, let's be honest. Sometimes they think, well, if I tell them, they probably won't even give me a chance. In your opinion, when's the best time, Ray, to tell somebody your past?
I think at the point when you realize there's a possibility you guys may be married. I think for me, one of the things that I did with Nike, I was just like, here's everything I've been through, here's everything I experienced, here's everybody I've ever dated before, here's the history of everything I've ever done, here's everything you need to know about me. I was extremely vulnerable with her. I was extremely open with her. At the point I realized that, you know what? I think I want to marry this girl. I think this is someone I really want to marry. I literally put everything on blast. And I think that opened a door for her to do the same thing as well, because she did the same thing with me, where she opened up the door about her life and her past and what she experienced. And I think that created a stronger relationship with us, because we can have a stronger relationship when we know, okay, there's nothing else we're hiding from each other.
That's good.
And then even as we continue to grow, there are things you just don't know to tell someone. There's things that you don't think with conflict. So as we begin to grow, I would tell her about something. It's like, oh, I did this today. It's like, I didn't know that. I didn't realize you experienced that. I didn't realize you went through that. And so even though I was as vulnerable as I thought I was supposed to be, or as vulnerable as I thought I could be, as life progressed, there was even more opportunities for vulnerability.
That's so good. So good. Abby, what you got?
I think one thing too, even as you're single or as you're dating, is to always keep that conversation in mind. When we were engaged, we had to have a really hard conversation. We were in the car one night just both crying and having to tell each other all of these things that we had done that we wish we never would have. And we were virgins when we got married, and we still had so much hurt of things that we had done. So I would just always keep that in mind as you're making decisions in those seasons of like, is this something that I want to tell, look my spouse in the eyes and tell them one
day. That's good. Thinking about it in that moment, John, okay. You were married before. You had a life built with somebody. They passed away tragically. When do you start opening up and telling Shantae what has happened? What's going on? What do you think that looks like?
Well, I think transparency is number one, and she didn't have to ask me anything. I volunteered information to her just because when we got to a certain place in our relationship and I knew she was the woman that I was going to marry, I wanted to be open with her and honest and just let her know, hey, these are the things that happened, with my first wife. These are the things that we accomplished together. I'm not putting that same expectation on you, which I think is really important.
That's good.
Because I never want her to be in the light of who the other woman was.
Yeah. Wow.
So I want what we have to be the first. And so that allowed her to have the ability to let her guards down, knowing that I didn't put that expectation on her. And so the other things that we talked about that I volunteered was, these are some of the things I didn't like in my first marriage. These are some of the things that I want us to do so that we can have a successful marriage.
Yeah.
And so I think that was
so good. Let me move to something that we got that came on from somebody in the audience. Somebody asked, does sexual temptation subside when you get married? If not, what are some best practices for purity? Pastor Adrian, I heard you laugh when I asked you that. Do sexual temptations subside when you get married? And what do you do if they don't?
Well, number one, do they subside? No, I was a man before I got married. I'm still a man after I got married.
Amen.
It's just the fact that as I get older and I'm married, now I handle things differently. And I acknowledge the responsibility. What do I do? Well, I think Sister Natalie hit some things very basic before about wisdom. Number one, you got to watch your environment, your surroundings, number one. Your eye gate, your ear gate, what you're hearing and stuff. You say, what happens when that, you didn't do that, that entered in there? Well, you know what? I take it to God. I don't want to sound too super spiritual. I'm just old school here, practical stuff. But you know what? The Bible says think on these things. Okay? And here's the thing. One thing, I have to be real with myself.
It's good.
Sometimes we lie to ourselves. I ain't touched by that. I'm whole. I'm saved. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, she got nice legs and a behind, but that don't bother me. No. I'm being too real here.
No, you being
you
real.
You got to be real with yourself.
It's good.
Father, I have an issue here.
All that jiggling.
And I take it to God in prayer. You
Thank
know what?
You. I take it to God in prayer.
And there are times, you know, I hear people talking about being confiding and being transparent. I had to learn that as I went through marriage.
Yeah.
So I didn't understand that early. Y'all guys are young. Y'all starting off with a lot of information and stuff here. I had to learn about accountability and transparency. And so what I do, as we went on here, some things I would just share with my wife. Let me tell you what's going on. And let me tell you something, too. She's a godly woman. I'm trying to be quick because Pastor knows what's going on here with me. I talk a lot. But she's a good godly woman. Many times God revealed to her.
Yes. Come on. So good.
Sometimes I don't know how to say what needs to be said. Maybe my manhood may be attacked to say that I have this weakness here. But thank God when you have a godly woman that's praying for you, she ain't got to say it. Sometimes she just knows.
Wow, so good.
And she began to talk to you and support you in a way that lets you know it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, if anyone's been married any time, any length of time, you've been through some battles.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop right there. I hope that I answered your question. I'm trying to be, do you want to say that thing? Because I talk so much. I'm trying to be respectful of time. I just, is that all right?
Pastor, yeah.
I have a question almost to ask you, okay. Pastor B, because it made me think, we went somewhere and we heard that a sign of your marriage is, can your husband trust you with information such as he's struggling sexually with thoughts or anything like that? Or does he feel like if he does share with you to join him in the fight, are you going to be there to point the finger and basically tear him down and how dare you? Or are you going to join him in the fight? And it sounds like you joined him in the fight.
Definitely. You have to join him in the fight.
So good.
Pastor and I talked early in our marriage. Well, I would say 10 years. That's early for me because we've been together 37. And we said that unfaithfulness is not the problem of your mate. It's not that there's something lacking in your mate. It's that there's something lacking in you.
That's good.
Because you made a covenant. And so if you're going back on your covenant, you need to examine yourself. not try to criticize your mate. So anytime that we shared, then it was for support because he's coming to me to say, I have a problem and I need you to help me through this problem.
So good.
And the same thing with me. Women, we act like, you know, we can't fail. Yeah, we can fail too. And we need to be just as honest and ask him to come along with us to say, hold me accountable.
Yeah. That is so good. So much wisdom. What you got, Shante?
I wanted to say when during the time when I was single, that was something also God was developing me in was character and integrity. So even during those times when, you know, you're lonely and you're like, you know, God, is this man going to just knock on my door? You just, you know, you have those desires. But even when, you know, people would reach out in your DMs, what are you going to do? During that time, I had to shut those things down. You know, you can leave, you can have a response and it can leave the door open, or you can have a response to someone and it shuts things down immediately. And so those are the areas where God was testing me in being single, so that guess what? When you're married and you still see things going on or someone still approaches you, you've already passed those tests. God develops us all along the way. So that's really, really important.
That's so good. Having your responses and things, because the enemy will come try to test you. If I just want everybody to hear this, because Pastor Adrian hit it on a little bit earlier. But if the Son of Man was tempted for 40 days, who are we to think that we won't be tempted in different ways to help us fail? So we need to be prepared. Just a couple more questions. I really think this is helping a lot of people. Let me ask this. What, Arian, have you been intentional with in your singleness? I'm going to go you and Pastor Barbara. And then I want to ask a couple married people, what do you wish you would have been more intentional with when you were single? Okay, Arian, what have you been intentional with in your singleness?
I think it's awesome what Ramon said. It was definitely focusing on God without distractions, making sure I'm serving in some capacity in the house, and being sure that I'm having fun in this time. Like, I'm able to travel. I went to a lot of places this year.
Where you go?
I went to Europe.
Yeah.
I went to Florida, went to a lot of places this year. So that was one thing that I think that's awesome, you getting to experience those things and being intentional and just reminding yourself of who God is and knowing him in a way that many people don't get to know him.
That's so good. Pastor Barbara, after being married, having a child, and then being divorced, what is something that, because you've had two seasons of singleness, what is something that you're being super intentional about in this season of your life that could help somebody else in their singleness be intentional about?
Okay. Being that I am divorced, I'm being intentional with letting people know that divorce is not the end of your life.
Yeah.
That you can move on.
So good.
I am also being intentional with showing that I love my life.
Yeah.
I love who I am. And that I am so free in being who God wants me to be. I'm enjoying God. I have made my home a sanctuary. That when I feel lonely, it is. I want my home to be a sanctuary that even young, single girls who may be struggling with who they are, and in their independence, that they can know that they can make it.
Yeah.
If you've gone through divorce, and divorce is not a beautiful thing at all. God hates divorce, but once you have been walking in it or you find yourself in it, you can still live a life that is secure.
So good.
You can get back on your feet. You can be strong. And even if it is, even going back to the accountability part, and knowing that sometimes, yes, I see a person, a young gentleman that I may,
ooh,
I'm serious.
You cougar.
Yes, I quicken sometimes.
You cougar.
Ow.
Ow. I see you. I see you out here, Pastor Barbara.
And I'm honest and I'm transparent with God.
Absolutely.
I'll say, God, okay now.
All right. You know. Stella trying to get her groove back.
I'm not hiding anything, and I know that I look good.
Come on.
Sure,
Come on.
So me and Jesus, we have a talk.
Yeah.
But I know that the scripture says whatever is done in the dark is going to come out into the
That's
light.
Good.
So I don't hide anything from God. When I go home, I go home alone.
Amen.
And when I'm lonely, me and Jesus, I put my music on, and I'm telling you, we have a party in my house.
Yeah.
I'm like Adrian, I believe in traveling. I make sure that I'm accountable when it comes to being a good steward over what God has given me. I'm not a foolish woman, and I make sure that I take care of my home and that I am being a good steward with what God has given me, because I want to be able to sow into the lives of anybody that come before me that I think that is young, old, single, married. And I do. I've experienced enough to know that, listen, ladies, especially those of us that when we come into marriage and you have been independent for a long time, you have to shift. You have to shift from where you were walking alone and know that now you are not independent. And you have to be able to say that when I was doing this by myself, it's no longer just I. But back to your point. I am very much.
We see. We know you are very much. We already got it. Now,
amen.
Okay, she doesn't hide this, but I want you to know, Pastor Barbara, how old are you?
I'm 67.
Six?
What?
She said, I know I'm fine.
She looks great.
So awesome. Last thing I want to ask, and we got to get out of here, man. We could do this all day because this is some really good. Are you guys being helped by some of this stuff that's happening up here? So good. Okay. So let me ask this question. What's a scripture that helps guide what season you're in right now? Like, what's something that's helped anchor you, whether you're married or whether you're single or whether you, what's something that's helped anchor you? Pastor Barbara?
The scripture that says, no matter what state you're in, therewith be content. That took me through the tumultuous time that I had when I was going through my divorce.
Yeah, so
I was
good.
Looking at having to take on the expenses where it was two full-time people in my life and carrying the weight of home, job, whatever. And that scripture is what kept me on course.
Yeah.
No matter what state you're in, therewith, be content.
That's
why I said I'm divorced and satisfied.
Anybody else? Anybody else got a scripture? Charles?
I think for ours is Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do more, exceedingly more abundantly than you can ask, think, or imagine.
That's so good. What you got, John?
Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path.
So good.
Yeah.
Right, what you got, right?
6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and everything else will be added unto you.
Amen. What you got, Rob?
For mine, it would be the same. Proverbs 3:5-6, because I'm going into a season where in my family, I don't have anybody to look at as an example. So I'm going into something that I have no idea about, but I'm trusting in him that I'll be able to lead the correct way.
That's so good. So good. I think mine would be Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you and all whose thoughts are fixed on God. I think for me and Natalie, we've been through a lot of different seasons, but because our mind is fixed and focused on God, we trust him.
Yeah.
Like, hey, this sucks right now. But we trust God. Hey, we don't have as much money as we need right now, but we trust God. Hey, one of our children is going through an issue and we really need God to come through, but we trust you. And when you have faith and focus, you'll win. I just want to encourage everybody in your relationships, wherever you are, thank you guys for being so transparent, but wherever you are in your relationship, I want you to know that only you need two things. You need faith in God, and you need to stay focused on what God's trying to do in your life. And if you have those two things, one day you'll be sitting on the couch with whatever stage of relationship you're in, and you'll be sharing the faithfulness of God. Amen. Me and Natalie aspire to be 37 years in the game like the Humphreys. But that doesn't negate the 7 years we're in right now.
Right.
So be content in whatever season you have and allow God to work on you in that season. Can we pray for everybody right now? I want us to just stretch our faith, not saying that we're perfect people, but progressing people. And we want to pray over this group of people. Father, we thank you for every person that has listened. Father, we extend our faith, Father God. We're not up here like we've figured it out, Father, but we trust you and we have faith to believe you, God. We pray for every marriage. God, there's marriages in this room that are going through hell right now. God, and I'm praying that the peace of God will begin to flow in those marriages. God, I thank you, Father, that there are people who in here that are single who have been discontent, Father, and I thank you right now. You are bringing a level of peace that passes their understanding. Father, I thank you for even the person who's divorced and is going through a hurt and trying to figure it out. I thank you, as Pastor Adrian said, Father, you're going to be the one who carries us through the valleys as well as you're going to carry us to the mountaintops. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to uncut us from every relationship that's not like you. Everything that's not adding to us but bringing us harm, Father. And we thank you for restoration of those, Father God, who are far apart from each other but need you to come into their relationship. I thank you for passion being renewed. I thank you for love being intentional, Father. And I thank you that you would be the center. We trust you and believe you that our relationship goals, Father God, will be centered in you. And you'll do something amazing to transform our lives. In Jesus' name, we agree? Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or our website at transformchurch.us/give. And don't forget to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.